Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to talk Utah football with Utah tight end Brant Keithy. This is Brant Keithy with Bill Riley, an exclusive weekly conversation on The Bill Riley Show, presented by Craig Swapp & Associates. One call, that's all. Now let's get to the voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, and Utah senior tight end or wide receiver. Never mind, just call him an offensive weapon. Brant Keithy on your home of the Utes, Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
So it's noontime on a Tuesday here on the Bill Riley Show, and we've been kind of teasing this for a week or so, and a little bit yesterday and early in the show today, that we had some cool programming stuff coming up for the season, and we're going to kind of introduce something here for you today. We kind of began it last year with Britton Covey, and it was a great success. We started one in the spring, which we're carrying to the fall on Thursdays with Cam Rising. But I know how Utah fans are. You guys can't get enough content. We can't talk enough Utah football on this show, on this station, period, during football season. So I wanted to get another kind of insider for you that could provide some unique perspective on things as well. And I reached out to him and his people, and they said he'd be up for it. And so I said, well, hey, let's do it. So every Tuesday on these very airwaves throughout the entire college football season, beginning today with camp beginning in a couple of days, or tomorrow I should say, we're going to do Brant Keithy with Bill Riley here on ESPN 700. And so we welcome in the veteran of Utah football, the native of Texas. And I don't know if I'm supposed to call him a tight end or a wide receiver. I think we'll just call him an offensive weapon this year. Brant Keithy, how are you?
How you doing, Bill?
I'm great. How are you?
Great to be here.
Great to have you here. How excited are you for what we can call now your final season with Utah football?
Yeah, I'm excited just for the opportunity. 5 months left here and trying to take advantage of every opportunity I have and make the most of it.
So you tell me, how tough a decision was it for you to come back? I know people were excited last year when you decided to come back. Kind of walk us through the process, because you could have very well put your name in and probably been in an NFL camp right now. Where you would have been drafted, who knows? If you would have been drafted, who knows? That's a crapshoot. But you decided to come back. What went into the process, and are you glad you made that decision?
Yeah, I'm glad I made a decision. Just looking over it, talking with my family and whatnot, I saw that there was an opportunity right there. It was a loaded class in the draft class, and I knew that no matter what the position I play, and especially the size that I am, I probably would have been later rounds. And yeah, I mean, I could have benefited in going to up to the next level if I wanted to, but I look back on it and have been to 3 Pac-12 championships, and first one I won this year, and then we go to the Rose Bowl, fall short, and I just feel like we haven't done enough. We're just right on the brink just to get our name out there, and not a lot of teams know who we are, and they're starting to. But it starts with week one against Florida. And it's great to have that game because we get another Power 5 conference team, especially in the SEC. And never played teams like that except maybe, 4 or 5 years ago. And we haven't played teams like that since. So it's a great opportunity. And I saw it as an opportunity to go win more games and win the Pac-12 again, trying to make a playoff run.
And also, though, there's a secondary part of that, and it's okay to admit this, Brant. It was about you, too, because your goal is to play on Sundays. Your goal is to have a career in the National Football League. And so you probably got that feedback. You said loaded class. So you've got another year on a very good football team where you know you're going to be a featured piece, as you have been for the last couple of years, to improve your game and work on your game. So when you got that feedback from the NFL and some people, what did they tell you to say, hey, okay, yeah, you could come out, but if you go back, this is what we'd like to see, maybe some areas we'd like to see you get better at?
Yeah, I mean, every year it's kind of the same thing. See if we can improve your blocking. I do think I have enough film on tape as far as route running, rack ability, all those things, but it's just to get better at running routes. kind of get the whole route tree. That's why I moved over to receiver for the spring, so I could practice more on that, kind of learn the scheme more, and just learn different techniques and whatnot at the receiver position. Because at tight end, we kind of get mixed into the blocking, mixed into the route running. You can't really work on kind of the full spectrum of route running. And it was great to have Coach Bump kind of walk me through all that stuff for the past month and a half that we had. And I felt like it wasn't enough, and hopefully I get more work in it. But it was a great start.
It's interesting because you say that, but to be honest, the NFL's not that much different from college football in that there's almost two kinds of tight ends. You have the traditional inline blocking tight end who will catch the occasional pass, and that's not you. You are more kind of the new school hybrid tight end that will line up on the line. You will line up in the slot. You'll line up out wide. Almost, I call you the matchup tight end. You're the guy that creates the mismatch or the matchup that's favorable on a linebacker or a safety, and that's kind of where you are. But the NFL has those guys too. There's some guys that are traditional guys, but then you've got the Travis Kelce's of the world and the other guys, the George Kittles, that are doing a little bit more on the pass-catching side. If they can block a little bit, but they're making their money catching and running with the ball after they catch it.
Yeah, just what makes me unique in that situation is that you see guys like Travis Kelce, George Kittle, what are they, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah.
I'm 6'2", and 220, so I'm a little bit on the smaller end, which kind of gives me an advantage in some opportunities because – I mean, I can line up in the backfield. I can do so many more things, but also I can line up wide out. So it's not bad. It's kind of weird when they kind of put me in a position at tight end because I'm not the typical size of one. I'm more of like a hybrid H-back, but I just kind of like being referred to as an athlete because if I can line up in the backfield off the wing, in line, slot, wide out, I'm not going to put myself out of position because it kind of limits me to what I can do.
You played running back, and I don't know if a lot of Utah fans probably know this, but I mean, you played running back in high school. You weren't a wide receiver. You weren't even a tight end. You were a running back, which, again, undersized as the tight end a little bit, but how much did your kind of life as a running back help you to where you are today, you know, in the kind of the after the catch side of things? Because I think that's where you really do excel, Brant, is after you get the ball, you don't look like the traditional rumbling, stumbling tight end down the field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have like a recipe for how I do things, but I think I was just gifted with the natural ability to make people miss. Yeah, running back definitely helped. I do believe I could still play running back if they still want to give me the ball, but
You do. He gives you the ball on end arounds and different things like that. Most tight ends aren't getting end arounds, so in some ways, you are getting some running back reps.
Yeah, I'm getting some running back reps, but it's always nice to have more. Just kind of widen my variety and see what I can do. But yeah, running back definitely helped. Running through the gaps, running through the linemen. It's always a good change to have, and especially it's a new perspective on how to run the ball. Because a lot of guys, when they catch the ball, it's, what can I do next? It's just all about you got to look at field. That's all it is, and see what's there.
Brant Keithy's in studio with us. He'll be here every Tuesday on the Bill Riley Show. Brant Keithy with Bill Riley, presented by our friends at Craig Swap & Associates. One call, that's all. So you're heading into your final year. How is that? Who approached who on this? I'm curious, the wide receiver side of it, because we'll talk about this as the year goes along, but you're going in springtime, you saw a lot of reps at the wide receiver spot, almost exclusively. I was talking to Cam in the spring. It's like, well, you know, he's not in the tight end room right now. He's in the wide receiver room. So who approached you with that initially? Was it your idea? Did Coach Ludd, Coach Bump, how's Freddie felt about it? Yeah. And I'm just curious because it's not a wild move. It's not like they're moving you from tight end to, you know, corner or something like that, like they did with Mekhi Bernard in the Rose Bowl. But it is a little bit of a move. But in some ways, they've kind of moved you around. Andy's been moving you around for a couple of years anyway, lining you up all over the place.
Yeah, so I approached Coach Ludwig. He kind of had an idea to move me over to the receiver room just to kind of learn more about the routes and the scheme and everything and just practice my whole route running ability and releases and whatnot. So I talked to Bump, and he was, I would love to have you. Freddie, not so much just because I do need it to work on some things, and it kind of got me away from working on those things. But he saw at the end of spring ball that it was a benefit for me to be in that room. If I'm going to still be in that room, if not, who knows? But I do appreciate the time I had with Bump because he's a great coach to have and a new perspective on things, and he just knows how to really run routes. So it was good to have him in the room and kind of learn from him, because especially having Solo and having Devon Bailey in there also, I get to learn from guys like that that I don't see every single day. So it was good work.
So what's been the biggest challenge so far in moving out to wideout? Doing it in the spring, you get a lot of reps there, which isn't all that different. It's a little bit more sped up and more important in fall camp. But for you, what was the easiest part of making that move, and what's been the biggest challenge?
Easiest part was that I'm bigger, so I kind of get to use my weight more. But the hardest part was releases, because we don't really work on releases on the inside. It's a lot easier to get open in slot position. When you're wideout, you're in a phone booth. You really need to know how to work your guy and get open without giving up so much space on the sideline. Then you're gonna have to rely on a great throw by Cam, which he does that, but you don't want him to have to make NFL type throws every single day.
Well, the release is everything, because it's all about timing.
Yeah,
everything is timing in the pass game, and if he knows that if he's looking to come to you, he's looking to come to you pretty quickly, and if you don't get that release or get some freedom, he either has to check down or throw it away or something like that.
Yeah, and it was good work, because we worked on releases about 3-4 times a day. So it was good for me to have that, especially with guys in the room that could help me, because when you get to that position, it kind of humbles you, because being in the slot position, you kind of seem like, okay, it's a lot easier to get open against safeties and nickels, but when you get out to the outside, going against corners that have amazing feet, especially like Clark Phillips, it puts you at a whole another top of your game. And it's good work to go against a guy like that, because, I mean, iron sharpens iron, and it was good work during spring, and I'm just excited to get to this fall camp starting on Wednesday and get to work.
What's the biggest difference? When you're playing tight end, you're seeing a lot of linebackers and safeties. When you're split out wide, you're seeing corners. So what's the difference between the kind of the looks and the coverage you're getting with a corner like Clark Phillips, say, versus a safety like, I don't know, you know, last year would have been Devin Lloyd, or a guy like Cole Bishop, somebody like that?
I mean, going against Clark, I mean, he's going to want to go man press every single time.
Yeah.
That's the type of guy he is, and I love it. It's just hard because he's so quick. Going on the inside, you have nickels, and nickels are kind of like corners. They're quick. Yeah. They have good feet. They're better coverage than safety guys. But when a safety comes down, they're going to play catch most of the time, because they're not going to sit there and play man, because they know that we can beat them. So they're going to sit at catch, and hopefully that they can get us and have a safety over top, or they'll just play cover two or cover three or whatever they want. I did see a lot of a zone coverage this past year, and did struggle in releases and man press, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I got open every single time, because I didn't. It's something I needed to work on, and something I made it a main focus of my game, especially this spring and this fall coming up, and I'm just excited to see where I'm at starting game one.
I'm going to say that's the one thing I think would probably be different between tight end and wide receiver. Great wide receivers love man press, because they think they're going to beat that guy on the other side and they're going to have a free look down the field. Whereas if you're a tight end, you love zone, because as a tight end, you're probably going and settling down in a spot inside that zone, catching it 7 or 8 yards down the field, then turning back upfield, right?
Yeah, but also at the same time, we're always competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to win in every rep that we can, and then when we lose, we get mad. And that's just how it is. Being a competitive guy and going against size, yeah, it's nice to run a zone and run a 10-yard curl and be wide open and catch the ball and take it for 40, 50. Yeah, it's cool, but whenever you beat your guy off the line and or get a nice release on him, it feels even better, because you know it was one-on-one. Zone coverage, you're not going against anybody. You're trying to beat the defense, but man press, you're going against that one guy. And you're just focused on winning that rep, because you don't know who the ball is going to go to, so you have to expect it every time.
Talking to Brant Keithy here on the Bill Riley Show. He joins me every Tuesday. It's Brant Keithy with Bill Riley, presented by Craig Swap & Associates. I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, wanting to come back for the team. You know, a year ago, the mantra for a lot of the guys that came back was, we've got unfinished business. Devin Lloyd, unfinished business. We've never won a Pac-12 championship. We want to win this thing. Well, you guys got that done last year, and you said you've played in three of those things now.
Yeah.
Got that monkey off the back, but you got to the Rose Bowl, and you lost. Although I'll say this, Brant, and I've said this to everybody, whenever I talk to people about the Rose Bowl, it's not just Utah fans. Whether I talk to people anywhere, people find out they were all watching because that's the beauty of the Rose Bowl. It's the only game going on. So you guys, outside of the playoff games, you guys had more eyeballs than any 19, 20 million people. Nobody talks about Utah losing that game. All they talk about is what a fun, wild, crazy game that was. Now, do you view it that way, or do you view it as a loss?
Well, that's a hard one. Yeah, it opened, got people's eyes to what Utah can do,
right.
But at the same time, it's a loss on our record. We couldn't get that win. We couldn't get the ring from the Rose Bowl, and that's what's so bad about it is because we just came up short, and it just feels like it's not enough. Winning the Pac-12 was nice, finally getting it, but I haven't won a bowl game in all 4 years that I've been here.
That's which is crazy.
Yeah.
You've played in some huge games, but you've come up short in all those games.
Yeah, and that's what's the hard part is, in sitting there and say, I've never won a bowl game, it just didn't sit right with me. And that was one of the decisions I made to come back because we have the capability of going to the playoffs, and we're not going to sit there and think short and say, okay, yeah, we just want to go to the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl was cool, and it was a great experience to have and a great game to be in, but our sights are on bigger things, and the playoffs is the next big thing.
It's funny. That's the same mindset. Cam was down at Pac-12 Media Day last week, and I didn't ask him this because I talk to him all the time, but I heard so many people ask him about that game. He's like, hey, man, that was a loss. Because I know a lot of people loved the game, and it was fun, and it was a fun game to play in, but we lost that game.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to what I said. Most people don't view it that way. They just remember how entertaining and crazy and wild it was in that game. But you guys view it as a loss and kind of, to use last year's term, unfinished business?
Yeah, and I mean, going back on, because we're competitive, we don't want to lose anything. And no matter what the score was and what could have happened if he would have stayed healthy, if I would have stayed healthy, all those things, what ifs, like you can't go back and change those things. So you kind of have to learn from it. It was a great game to have against Ohio State. All these people saying, oh, it would have been a different game if these guys weren't hurt. We had a lot of guys hurt too.
Yep.
So how would you have known the outcome of the game if your guys were healthy and our guys were healthy? So you can't play off what ifs, but going back on it, like taking a loss is always going to feel like a loss. It feels even worse whenever you're sitting there after a close game and you lose in the last minute of the game. I'm not going to take pride in that. I mean, it was good to get our name out there and show the world what we could do because I think everybody knows now, but it's not enough.
It's interesting. You're one of the leaders on this team. You've been around for a while. Cam, Clark, there's a group of guys that have been here. And I've asked a lot of guys this, and I'll ask you the same thing. With all that you guys accomplished last year, and it was a lot, and bringing back a good core of guys from that team, and now all the hype around you guys, and you've heard it, you've read it, you're picked to win the Pac-12. You mentioned playoff a minute ago. There's some teams, some people out there that think you're a potential playoff team. How do you keep the fire? Because the fire was always win that first conference championship. How do you keep that fire and that drive and keep that hunger to get back and do it again?
Yeah. I mean, I see the 2021 season was 2021. This is 2022 now, and it's a whole new team. We have a lot of new guys, and I just see it as an opportunity. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. You kind of have to stay neutral. You got to take one game at a time, and the first thing we're looking forward to is fall camp, and then when we get to game one is Florida, and you kind of have to take it one game at a time from there.
I heard Coach Ludd tell you guys something interesting when he gathered you up, that he said that 2021 Pac-12 championship trophy, that's not this team's trophy. That's 2021's team. That's the program's trophy, but this team is a different team, and that's not this team's trophy. Is that what he told you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't gotten it yet. I mean, on our ring it says 2021. It doesn't say 2022, and the season hasn't even started yet. We haven't even talked about really Florida that much. And, we haven't earned it. Until we have that trophy in our arms and says that we are the 2022 Pac-12 champion winners, then I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, we're this, we're that, because we're going to just take it one game at a time. I'm not going to look too forward into the future because we have to be what's worried in front of us.
Talking to Brant Keithy here on the program today. Brant's going to join me each and every Tuesday all season long. Brant Keithy with Bill Riley, presented by Craig Swapp and Associates. So camp starts tomorrow for you guys, which is fun and exciting, but you've been through this before. And I was talking to some of the other guys. I talked to Clark last week about it too. it's still a relatively young team because of, you know, the crazy COVID year. There's a lot of, you know.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Freshmen and sophomores, guys that have played a lot, but then there's guys like you as well. Is this camp going to be a little bit different than maybe the camp last year, even the year before was? Maybe not as much install, but a lot more kind of fine-tuning and polishing because you guys have been through it before?
Yeah, for a good amount of us players, but there's a lot of new guys in the room. The receiver position, really anywhere, if you look at a depth chart, everywhere has young guys. So the install is definitely going to be important. As far as guys that have been here, just adding tweaks, little things to each play that we can kind of make it better. We're a big thing, and we're going to make it look the same, but it's going to be different. So, yeah, that's just how it's going to be. And, I mean, as far as plays go, a lot of us know the plays, but fine-tuning it, just like you said. And there's going to be some young guys that are going to have to step up this year, especially in the offensive side. So just learning those plays and getting those down.
Give me a couple of guys that you think are going to have to kind of – a couple of young guys that have a chance because, again, you, Dalton, Vele, JD, Tavion, Makai, yeah. I mean, the Cam. I mean, that's a lot of veteran guys right there. Who are some of the young guys you think should be stepping up?
Yeah, Money Parks, he's going to step up. Makai Cope, he's going to step up. We have a new receiver that's in Sydney from I think he's from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a great receiver. There's a lot of new guys, new faces that are going to have to step up and play well. I see Munir McLean. He's a great player. Once he gets the system down and all the plays down, he's going to be a great player for us.
So you're going from tight end to receiver. He's going from receiver to tight end. You've played a little bit of both, but you played a lot of tight end. How do you think he'll do you think he'll be good?
Yeah, I definitely do think he can be good. I mean, he can just take over the role that I've done. He doesn't really have to do every single thing that I do, but he kind of does things differently. He's fast. He looks smooth. He can jump and go get it. And another guy is Thomas Yasmin. He's done a great job at kind of progressing and learning the game of football over the past 4 years. And I'm excited to see
Is this kind of his time? Do you think this is kind of this is going to be Thomas's year where he actually is more than just like the third or fourth tight end blocking on the goal line and playing special teams? He can actually have a role in the offense?
I do think so, but it's all about what he wants to do at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I can't sit there and guarantee him a spot because it's all earned. It's all earned. And I'm excited to see where he's going to be at this fall camp. We have 4 or 5 weeks to see, get him ready and get kind of the whole team ready to see where we're at for game one and kind of look and see who we need and who are we going to bring. And we'll see.
I'm curious, Brant. Last year, you guys got off to a slow start. You lose the game against BYU. You lose the game against San Diego State. You're 1-2. It's well documented. We don't need to go back over that. One of the big issues was it didn't feel like the offense was in sync, and there was some issues up front with the offensive line. Most of those guys come back. You're having to replace Bam and Nick. But you know those guys. You play with those guys. Do you feel like that's going to be an issue this year, or do you feel like it will be much less an issue? There'll be a lot more, I guess, continuity this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that big an issue. Coach Harding always does a good job at getting his guys right. And I could see the leadership in that room, especially in the O-line room. It's going to be a good one. We do have young guys. We have guys coming back, Jaron, Paul Miley.
Braden.
Falcon's going to step up at one of the tackle
Satoa.
Positions. Satoa, he's a great player. So many more guys. I don't want to leave anybody out. But, yeah, we have so many great players in that room. And Coach Harding does a great job of getting them ready. And I'm excited for it. And it's good relationships that we have up front. So it should be good.
So to be fair, too, and I say this, there were injuries that factored into that last year. Not everybody was healthy. And so some guys were maybe pushed to where they weren't quite ready to play yet. And that's, you know, as much as we talk about fall camp, really the goal of fall camp, when you've got a team like you guys have coming back, is to stay healthy. Because you've got 16, 17 starters back from a championship team a year ago. Your main goal in fall camp is to keep all the key players healthy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we have done a better job at keeping guys healthy. it's just kind of have being smart in some areas and kind of be able to pull back. But no less work. I mean, everyone gets the same work. We're not going to sit there and say half the guys do this, half the guys do that, because we all need to be able to get our minds right and get our bodies right. It's just going to be fun to see how we are, because we've kind of been split up for the past couple months as far as workout goes. So just kind of learning all the new guys' names, seeing how they play, seeing just kind of the wide variety of how the team really is, and just go from there.
It's interesting because when you were recruited here, I believe Troy Taylor was the offensive coordinator, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Troy Taylor's offense didn't utilize the tight end very much. When they were recruiting you, what was the message they were pitching you? It's you and your brother. Your brother was a defensive lineman, so defensive lineman at Utah, yeah, no big deal. But when you were being pitched, because it really wasn't until Andy took over a year later, which would have been, what, your sophomore year or your
– Sophomore year.
That the tight end became a role. So what was your initial thought when they were recruiting you to come to Utah? Were they looking at you as kind of a hybrid, a running back? Where were they looking at you? Because tight end wasn't a big deal then. Troy had a tight end, but it was more four and five wide receiver sets.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a hard decision to make. We just decommitted from Rice, and Utah was kind of the only offer that we had. And it was a great one for Blake, but for me, I was sitting there, and I just saw it as an opportunity. They didn't sit there and say, okay, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. They told me you were going to get moved into the tight end room. I expected that, just being the type of guy I am and kind of the way college football is going nowadays. I saw myself at the tight end position. I said, why not just go for it? And when I got into the room, I didn't have any expectations. I was seventh on the depth chart or sixth or whatever it was. I don't know. And, I mean, I just saw his opportunity every single day to get better, going against Julian Blackman, Terrell Burgess, like, all these amazing players. It was great to get work because I only got better from them.
It's funny you say that, because a lot of guys wouldn't step into that situation. Now, I know you didn't have a bunch of other offers, and you and your brother wanted to kind of come together, so there was some of that to it. But you know how things are today in college football. A guy doesn't want to come into any program that thinks he's worth a damn and be sixth on any depth chart. And again, it wasn't as if you knew Andy Ludwig was coming in a year later and the world was going to change for you, but you came in and put in that work that first year, right?
Yeah, and starting off, I wasn't getting really any playing time. I wasn't doing anything during practice, and it was definitely discouraging because coming from high school, just like any other player coming from high school, used to being the guy.
Yeah.
And then whenever you're sitting there, you're like, oh, wow, I'm not even going to be in. It kind of is a huge shock. And I saw my opportunity in one-on-ones, and that's really where I could showcase what I could do, because I knew I was going to get reps at that. Depending on how much, I didn't know. But even if I got one or two, I have to take advantage of the reps that I have, because if I don't really make the most out of them, then I'm not going to do anything. And that's where I showed it, because I was getting open in one-on-ones. And that's where I got the opportunity to actually come in and play.
So the next year, when Troy leaves to take the Sacramento State job, and then you get to meet Andy Ludwig, and then you start to kind of see what his offense looks like, did like a light bulb go on with you and go, oh, okay, this could be good?
Well, whenever he came in, I kind of had a connection with him because he loves tight ends.
And yeah.
I'm not the typical tight end that a lot of teams have. So I think he saw as an opportunity to be able to move me around and kind of have me as a flex guy who can kind of line up in so many different positions. And, I mean, we already had a guy like Cole where he was a smooth route runner, but he was a great blocker. So how could I compliment off of him? Move around, catch the ball, and have rack situations, because if Cole wasn't able to do that, then we needed a guy to be able to do that. We had Britton Covey, but he didn't play my sophomore year, I'm pretty sure, because he had a knee injury.
Yeah, he was hurt.
Yeah, so we didn't have any really guys like that. So I kind of had to step up in a role, and later on the season I started playing like that, but early on, and I kind of had to get warmed up because that was really my first season. The first season I had, I think, like 20-something catches, which was okay. It was more in the later half of the season, but starting to play in the beginning of the year, it was kind of a shock because I have to play 13 games great every single time. And I wasn't used to that. So it was definitely a shock going into that type of level. But having him under your wing and having him calling the plays and kind of designing the plays around you, it's an awesome feeling to have. And then having a guy like Snoop, you couldn't do any better than that at that moment.
Yeah, yeah. So how's it been with Cam? Because Cam, yeah. I tell people all the time, there's been a natural progression of Utah football. And it, Kyle Whittingham, the culture, the toughness, all of that stuff, that gets you competitive. But it doesn't matter whether you're in the Pac-12 or the ACC or the Big 12 or the Big Sky, wherever you are. If you want to be an elite program, if you want to be a championship program in whatever your league you're in, you got to have a guy. You got to have a dude who can throw it. Snoop was that guy. And now it's, and I tell people have been, what's been the key to Utah being, you know, the best team of the Pac-12 over the last 5 or 6 years? And there's a lot of reasons, but consistency at quarterback, whether it was Snoop and now Cam, I mean, that's two all-conference quarterbacks in 4 years right there, and probably a chance for 3 and 5 coming up if Cam has another good year. So what's he been like? You had Snoop. What's Cam like? Because a lot of people talk about him being kind of that leader and that guy that people kind of gravitate toward. How's he been?
He's been great. I mean, you can see all the adversity he's been through and he's overcame. The past 2 years, the first year, 2020 year.
He won COVID the job. Year,
he won the job, then got hurt his shoulder. A lot of guys don't come back from that. He came back. Charlie started over him. He decided to stay, which was a great opportunity for him to be in. And then Charlie, the stuff happened with him. He came in, take advantage of the opportunity, became the starter, and kind of took it and ran with it. He's been a great leader for us. He's a great energy guy. Guys just gravitate to him just because of his energy and just this overall competitiveness.
What's he like in the huddle? When you guys get in the huddle, all quarterbacks have a certain demeanor in the huddle. What's Cam like in the huddle with you guys?
I mean, it depends on the situation that we're in, if we're up, if we're down, if it's a great game. I mean,
but they've always got to exude confidence, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Up or down, he's got to be a confident guy in the huddle, right?
Well, I mean, we try and stay neutral. That's our biggest thing that we're trying to do is stay neutral because you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low. I mean, obviously, if we're up by 4 touchdowns, we're going to be talking about more than just the play. I mean, just because that's just how the game is. I mean, when you play for so long, you know the plays, you're going to sit there and be able to joke around. But when it comes to actually playing, we're just staying neutral. It's about you got to do your job and make sure you're doing your job for the guy next to you.
How does it work? Do you come back to the huddle and say, hey, man, I'm open. I am open. They can't guard me today. They can't cover me today. Is that how, I mean, receivers tight? Are you doing that in the huddle? Are you doing that on the sideline? How does that work?
No, you don't really want to say that just because I don't know if it's disrespectful, but I mean, if he gets sacked, you want to be like, wow, bro, like I was open. You don't want to say that stuff because, I mean, you can't go back and change it, and he's going to go back on film and see it. Plus, it kind of sits there, and you're asking for the ball. You don't want to do that because you work for it.
Okay.
I've done it a couple times just in certain moments because he's told me to, but other than that, I try not to do that because, for me, if I played quarterback and someone was telling me, hey, I'm open, why don't you throw the ball? I would be annoyed.
I was going to say, he does a pretty good job of getting you the ball. You had the second most targets on the team last year. Now, credit to you too, Brandt, because you've got to get yourself open.
Yeah.
But it's not as if Cam isn't finding you or Dalton or last year Covey too.
Yeah, no, he does a great job in that. And I think he also does a great job at spreading the ball around. I think we'll do it a little bit more this year because of the guys that we have. Having Dalton play how he did, it kind of adds a variety because now they're going to sit there and how are we going to guard this? How are we going to guard the inside and now the outside with Devon and Solo? It's a hard thing to do.
Well, it's funny you mention that. I was at Pac-12 Media Day talking to all the different players and stuff around the league last Friday for the show, and I actually talked to a guy that you know really well, Christian Young from the University of Arizona, who plays there. They call him the Viper position. He's like a hybrid safety linebacker. And I was asking about, and I didn't even know you guys were friends at the time, I said, well, what's it like for you matching up against Utah? Because you know they want to run the ball downhill. But then they present two tight ends who are great pass catchers. And then they've got receivers. He goes, Utah's a nightmare. And he said, you know, they've got Kincaid on one side and then my guy Keithy on the other. I said, your guy Keithy? He goes, yeah, Brandt and I are friends from high school, which I didn't know. But he was talking about how you guys just present matchup. And I think Andy loves that. People talk about you guys utilizing the tight end. Well, you guys utilize the tight end because you and Dalton are able to get open and present matchup problems. Otherwise, he'd probably do other things.
Yeah, and that's what's so great about the tight end position because how are you going to guard it? Who are you going to put out there? Are you going to put a linebacker? Because then he's probably going to be too slow. He's not going to be able to jump. You saw the past couple of games how Dalton went up and grabbed the ball. Guys like that, you can't guard him, especially with the safety too, because those guys, they're sitting in zone a lot. They're not going to be playing man. If the linebacker goes man, he'll probably go with the running back. So guys like that aren't used to guarding guys like us. It's not, and it's great for a mismatch nightmare because we know that we have the opportunity to get open 9 times out of 10 against guys like that. And I'm excited to see how it's going to be this year and see how they're going to guard it because I don't know. They might put a corner on me or they might put a nickel or a safety. Who knows? But I'm excited for the opportunity.
Well, and then when you've got Tavion Mackay and this young kid Jalen Glover who can run the football the way they do, teams have to sell out toward the run, and then there's the play-action aspect, and you running down the seam or Dalton running down the seam, maybe seemingly wide open. That's, again, you know, people have said, well, they don't throw it a lot. Yeah, but you guys throw it enough, and when you do throw it, you're seeing a lot of either man or free coverage.
Yeah, and that's what's great about it because, I mean, run-to-win mentality, if we run the ball all the time, they're going to have to stack the box, and it opens us up wide open. And it's great to have that. A lot of teams do zone against us, and you kind of saw a little bit where they're playing man because that was kind of a weak spot of ours, especially throughout the whole season at man, depending on the play and the situation. But we made it a huge focus this spring, and we're going to make it a focus this fall, is that we need to be able to win one-on-one. Press, no matter what it is, we need to be able to beat our guys because I believe we could throw the ball a lot if we wanted to and win by a lot more points in each game, but it's just that mentality that we need to get open, and that's all it is.
Is it cool for you and Dalton to see your names mentioned, like the best or second best tight end room in the country? Georgia's got a couple of really good tight ends too, but I mean, most people see you two guys as either the best combination or second best tight end combination in the country. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I would say we're top two, but we're not two for sure.
Because 1A and 1B, right?
I see everyone comparing us, and it's kind of hard to compare guys that are so different in the game. And we kind of complement each other so well because he's the type of guy who can go up and get the ball. He's a good blocker. He's a longer guy. And I'm a guy, I could go up and get the ball, but shoot, if I can run a 5 to 10 yard route and take it for 40, then it's nice to have that option to have. But as far as best tight end room in the country, we don't look at that. I mean, we don't really care about who's the best, who's this, who's that. We're just worried about getting our job done and winning games.
All right, so 32 days from today, you'll be in the Swamp in Gainesville opening up against the Florida Gators. This is not Weber State. This is not Southern Utah. This is not some 1AA opener. This is an opener in a big spot against a good team. A little unknown because they've got a new coach, but how excited are you about that game in Florida to kick the season off?
Yeah, I'm excited. I've always been playing the Swamp, but you kind of have to look at it as just a regular game. Because if you're going to look at it as, oh, it's this, it's that, then it kind of takes you away from the facets of the game and you preparing. Because I'm not going to sit here and act like it's a Super Bowl when all it is one game out of 12, 13 games that we have throughout the season.
Maybe 14?
Yeah, maybe 14. So I'm not going to sit here and prepare any differently because they're just another team that we have to face, just like they're going to prepare for us too. It's a new system that they're going into, so it's little unknowns that we really don't know, but I'm just sitting here trying to prepare for it, and we're going to just come game one and see how it is.
So is there last thing for you, because we got to wrap it up. I could talk to Brand all day, but we'll talk all season long on Tuesdays, thanks to Craig Swap and Associates. Is it taboo to talk about the playoffs and wanting to make the playoffs? I mean, you're not guaranteeing it, but is it okay as a group? And have you guys as a group said, hey, that's a goal of ours this year?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of teams, especially last year, I heard a lot about, oh, we want to go to the Rose Bowl. We want to go to the Rose Bowl. That's not the best thing that we can go to. Why set our heights on the Rose Bowl when you can set it even higher for the playoffs? And that's just an opportunity that we have to have and kind of the mindset. But we just know that we have to win every single game because, you know, in college football nowadays, they look at the Pac-12 as kind of a Group 5 team. We have one loss. They may not put us in because they're going to put in an Alabama that has one loss. They're going to put a Georgia that has one loss. So we kind of have to take advantage of the opportunity that we have because we can't let one slip. And if it does, we might lose that chance to go. So we're sitting here after the Rose Bowl loss, and how can we do better? Well, what we can do better is go to the playoffs, and that's the step that we have to take. And the work that we put in this summer kind of shows that we're willing to make that next step.
Well, the first step begins tomorrow when camp begins.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. I know as a veteran, you've been through it before. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you next week. And this is going to be fun, Brant. I'm looking forward to doing this every week.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
There you go. Brant Keithy with us here on the Bill Riley Show today, presented by Craig Swap & Associates. Brant Keithy with Bill Riley every Tuesday right here on Utah's number one sports talk and home of the Utes, ESPN 700.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.